praise for you.
And
Father, this day as we gather in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we stand in awe of him for what he has accomplished in our behalf. Our sins, which we could not atone for, sins which we could not pay for other than the eternal judgment in hell itself, have been washed away by the cleansing power of Jesus Christ and his blood. The waters of baptism this day remind us of the power of Jesus Christ to make us clean and holy and in right standing, to change our hearts to his divine spite. Hearts worthy of presence and of judgment. Teach our to your word. Pray that you make those friends, folks, picture all this adaptive. Them to be from this place. But so on in the event itself, I pray that we're right, especially of course those who will be baptized today, indelibly that it may not ever be erased, this moment and what it means for them unto eternity. And pray that goodness and mercy would follow every one of the 11 young people who will be baptized today, their entire life, and that they may one day dwell in your house forever. Because who we may call today, Jesus Christ, our Lord and ever Lord and Savior. His name, right? Amen.
I believe. Okay.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord for those who have gathered here and brought the Lord into the baptism of these who will enter these waters just beyond this place here at the close of this service. I invite you to turn, as you have a means to do so, this morning to Joshua chapter 3. In Joshua 3, we have a baptism of souls. That's a place called the tent. It receives its name as a result of the test here. And the children of God flooding. Then God, by miracle and purpose, led his people from one side of the river to the other side of the river, which was the promised land of Canaan. My aim this morning in preaching is to proclaim the hope of baptism from the greater context of the covenant. The Word of God has been speaking to the salvation work of Jesus Christ on every single page, from the book of Genesis as it opens, to the exodus of God's people, which we touch upon today, to the fulfillment of what was prefigured and prophesied in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, who himself gave us the command to go into all nations, to preach the gospel, and to make disciples, and to baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. With that in mind, turn back to our history. The people of the world, and this meant God intervened to bring them through the waters that would otherwise destroy, blunting the hope of salvation. Would you stand as you're able for the reading of God's word today? Considering you're hearing the word of God in Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Then Joshua arose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people there, before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went to the camp in command of the people. As soon as you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God being buried by the Levitical priests, the people set out for their place. There shall be dissonance between you and I, and you will come out of it. Now come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come hear and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. And so let we all be dark. The name of the Lord is when it's given before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man, And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord, Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off these both, and the waters coming down from above shall stand and won't be. See, when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the waters, and now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarephath, and those flowing down from the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, the complete colony, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. This is the word of God. You may be seated. I read a couple of extra verses there. There are quite a few verses in Tobit which document this event. Significant things are happening at this moment. Now let me suggest to you this morning that the concept of baptism, what we are participating in today, this concept, this idea precedes the New Testament church. Thousands of years before Jesus came, if anyone talked to one of these people, the Israelites who crossed from the wilderness, crossed the Jordan into the promised land, this generation, about what we are doing right here today, they would no doubt liken it to the events at Gilgal that we just read, upon crossing the Jordan River into the promise of Canaan. Likewise, we can greater appreciate their experience in light of our service here in Cross Lake, Minnesota, at a river, at a dam, at a lake, where there's water. Today, you will do something similar. The name Gilgal, by the way, is explained in Joshua 5, verse 9. Here the Lord says the following: today I have rolled away reproach. That means the shame, the guilt. I have rolled away the reproach from you. Gilgal, it's that they need to
really, and it's
unbelievable. We can appreciate this event all aboard in light of Matthew 28, 2 through 7. With the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus, by the way, is the Greek form of Joshua. Jesus, the greater Joshua, is punctuated. The resurrection of Jesus is punctuated. It's introduced, it's proclaimed by way of significant miraculous circumstances. An earthquake, an angel, lightning, and again, a rolling away of a great stone. And here, I submit to you, the hope of Gilgal extends to all eternity. That is, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Yahweh, the Lord, has rolled away the reproach of our sin. The tension is wrong and spoken. The redemptive history of the people of God is the ultimate benefit. In addition to the literary device we see here, repetition, speaking over and over again of these men, the text itself, I'll stub it to the voice of the Lord speaking, symbolic imagery, touch upon it, been say, does you recall all Lord? That's it. Covenants might develop and ceremonies for the people of God so that they would forever realize what God had done in their midst at this moment when he rolled away their shame of slavery in Egypt and ushered them by his sovereign miraculous hand into the land of the promise. Now let me give you a heading and 4 points today, touching upon a few of these verses we've read and a few extra as well. Like the Jordan crossing, baptism is the following. Baptism is, first of all, possible by priesthood. Joshua 3, 14 through 17. Secondly, like the Jordan crossing, baptism is a forever memorial. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. You see the parallel. Three, baptism, like the Jordan crossing, is preparation for battle. Interesting. And then finally, baptism is, like the Jordan crossing, a covenant of sign. First of all, possible by priesthood. Did you notice something interesting? We might ask the question, So when God stopped the waters, reminding us of the Red Sea, by the way, I'm sure you caught the parallels. And the Red Sea, Moses lifts his staff all night long. The eastward wind blows until this huge body of water stands in two heaps. And God makes a way, safe passage for his people across this body of water to save them from the Egyptian enemies that would otherwise destroy. Well, similarly here, God intervenes. This time, the water stands in one heap. Where, though? Is it about 100 yards within eyesight of where the crossing was? Not exactly. Did you catch it? Verse 16. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam. Seeing that is inside Sarah and those flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed me over. So think of it, think of this picture. The Ark of the Covenant is that a container for the law of God, the angels above. It has poles so as not to touch the holy and the sacred. And then the priests upon their shoulders bear this load, and then they approach the river. And as soon as their feet step into this river, the hand of God creates a dam, just like that one over there. But imagine the invisible hand of God stopping the floodwaters of the rushing Jordan from flowing. He doesn't do it within eyesight of the crossing. He does it far away, upriver, at a place, interestingly, called Adam. The waters coming down from above were dammed up, as we imagine, by the hand of the Lord Almighty. Picturing this, very far away at the city of Adam, the source of these waters, as it were, was stopped. Sin and its wages, I submit to you, are in picture. The wages of sin, death. This instrument of water as an instrument of judgment, by the way, in the days of Noah, and here it is pictured as an instrument of judgment as well, is what we in our sin deserve. However, well, this and this, by the way, this guilt and this sin and this reproach, it stems all the way back to Adam, our first parents. That is, the sin that comes from Adam and Eve prevents entry to the promised land of restoration and covenant fulfillment unless a priest, unless the Lord would make a way. These waters flow from the city of Adam, just like sin has flown into and corrupted all of the human race from Adam. Would there be a new Adam who could stop the waters of judgment and make a way for the people of God into the promised land, a restored relationship and covenant with him? Yes, there would. And it's pictured here. Just like the Jordan crossing, we too will have safe passage through the waters of judgment, death, unto heaven one day, but it is only possible by priesthood. We call in the days of Noah, there was an instrument of judgment that would flood and destroy every last sinner, save one man and his family, a son of grace in the eyes of the Lord. This would be Noah. Noah, in a sense, serving as a priest for his family, received the word of God and prepared that instrument of salvation, the ark. And thus that ark, built according to the word of God, carried 8 people through the waters of judgment until that ark rested on the mountain of Ararat, and they received as an inheritance a new world. Same picture. Noah's legacy. Legacy of the Israelites here. They picture, yet, yes, there is a way to be saved from the judgment of God for your sins, but it's only possible by priesthood. We notice it here. What had to happen? Notice the specific instruction. It says in verse 4, yet there shall be a distance between you, and yet that is the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits of length. Do not come near it, instructions to the people, in order that you may know the way it shall go. We have not passed this way before. These were specific instructions, so as not to cross the Jordan by any other way. A priest must enter first, picturing absorbing the judgment. And then he must stand there until those waters, at the speed of traveling liquid, multiplied by the distance of Adam, that city in the distance, would finally run dry. And then, and only then, following these priests, would a way be made across the waters that would otherwise destroy unto the promised land. A priest must enter first. He must absorb the judgment on our behalf. This pictures even more. He must be the substitute object of God's wrath. By the way, when the feet of Jesus Christ were pierced with the nails of crucifixion, at the moment when he cried, "It is finished," and when his body was laid in that tomb, that was our great high priest. Jesus, our priest, stepped into the waters of death and was laid in that grave, absorbing the instrument or the judgment, death itself, of God on behalf of his people. And what does the Bible say? Jesus himself tells us, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Look to me, follow me, stay 2,000 cubits back so as to follow straight through death, unscathed, unto eternal life." That is the only way to enter in to the wages of sin and to be able to cross what would otherwise destroy unto the place of reconciliation, promised land, and hope and fellowship with God forever. This is what we read of, by the way, in our worship text in Romans chapter 6. Gilgal and baptism come together in this passage. Verse 3, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized into his death?" We see the picture. He went through the Jordan, as it were. He went through death on our behalf. He was baptized, if you will, in advance and to make a way for his people to absorb the judgment and punishment they deserve. It goes further, verse 4. "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might be raised." Yes. "We too might walk in newness." That's it. That is Jesus Christ, our high priest. We enter into death. Priest to verse. Jesus finished first. And through him, and only according to him, will we be saved. So think of it. The priests step into the water, the waters part, and then the people pass. Jesus is crucified on Calvary. His feet are pierced with the punishment of circumcision. Therefore, in Jesus, following Jesus, accepting him as our Savior, young people who will be baptized today, you will go under the water, you will come back up as a picture of passing safely through the waters of judgment because your priest, Jesus Christ, died for your sins. And thus, the picture of Gilgal is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Jordan crossing, like baptism, was possible by priesthood. The Jordan crossing, like the Jordan crossing, secondly, baptism is a forever memorial. Now, us elders have interviewed the baptizees today, and you young people will remember something we told every one of you. Do not forget this day. Write it in your mind. Write it down. Go back and visit the footage of the video. Take a photo. Frame it. Do something to not forget this day. Where do we learn this? We learn this from passages right here at Gilgal, for instance. Chapter 4, verse 1. "When all the nations had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe of man, and command them, saying, Take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with him, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Joshua called the 12 men of the people of Israel." Of course, they do this. Verse 6 tells us why. "That this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." Like the Jordan crossing at Gilgal, baptism for you who will be baptized today is a memorial forever. Do not forget it. Remember this day with a little bit of cold breeze. You might be a little nervous. Testify to your faith in moments. Here, let that sign and seal upon your heart and a memory that you will not forget. Because today, like this day, is a significant moment a passing, it pictures a passing from the reproach of sin into salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, when the people crossed the river at this time, they received a promised land welcome. And the picture was this: yesterday, you were a wandering exile, with the reproach of Egypt still upon you, people without a land, exiles, ex-slaves, wandering for 40 years. That was you yesterday. Today, upon crossing this river and setting your feet on the threshold of God's promised land, you are a citizen of Canaan. Yesterday in exile, today a citizen. Welcomed into the favor, the presence, and abundance of salvation's promised reward. Likewise, young people, today at your baptism, we welcome you, in this formally speaking, into the church of Jesus Christ. You're no longer an outcast. You're no longer a lost and dead in your trespasses and sins. But baptism is something like an initiation ceremony where we acknowledge, according to your profession of faith and your obedience to the Lord in baptism, that you are members of the Church of Jesus Christ and you are citizens of heaven. Yesterday, you were a sinner destined to hell, but in the waters of baptism, we picture you crossed in Jesus Christ, your priest, into the promise of eternal life in him. You are now a citizen of glory. So let's build an altar. What did they do? They took stones. This paints a picture in our minds and the priest standing there. All the people have crossed, but the priest remains standing long enough where they still have 12 strong dudes, you know, from one from each tribe to double back their standing and gather resources to build this altar and to set it up on the opposite bend.
That's in the
air by the sovereign hand with the priest. It looks like kinks the river dry.
This thing odds.
Access to Baltimore. You might ask, why the spectacular moment? Why did God do this? I did not ordain that this helps. When the river was flooded, he did not want them to ever forget this meaning, the power, and the significance of this moment. Helps their efforts to commemorate according to his word so that they and future generations that will forget.
Yeah.
So you will update to your children the story of your own baptism. I remember my own. I was baptized when I was young too, 7 years old. There were palm trees made out of construction paper taped to the bathtub at my grandparents' home. We had a small family, you know, or a small church gathering. We didn't have a building yet, as I recall, but we had a need for a baptism. So we found water in the middle of the Minnesota winter in a bathtub at my grandparents' house, which he modified with the little plywood and plastic to make it just deep enough to dunk a 7-year-old. It was a Jesus Christ saying no. So that was the moment of my baptism. I'm careful that I remember it. So I had told my children at school, my children,
and they think you
created in your mind this moment. So one day, Lord willing, you will tell your children your baptism story, and God will use the multi-generations of Christian families to continue, should he tarry, to populate his promised land with another soul being saved from their sin and trusting Jesus Christ to bring them across the waters of death into heaven eternal. And the sin
was consumed.
You will beside the angel on the day when he was resurrected. Build an altar. Like the Jordan crossing, baptism is a forever memorial. Some of you have already been baptized, many I trust, in this congregation gathered here. Today's baptism provides a great opportunity for us. Remember your own baptism on this day.
And thank you for what I present in the personal way.
It's on salvation. Remember the safekeeping power of your priest, Jesus Christ, for being okay through death. So that in on that great day, also somewhere in returns, we will be found praising him in his fellowship with his people assembled in glory. Third, like the Jordan crossing, baptism is possible by priesthood. It's a forever memorial. And thirdly, it's preparation for battle. Notice in our text again, 3:10. a few interesting details come to the fore as we read. Joshua said, "Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hivites, Hittites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites, all enemies of the people of God, who resisted God's purposes and plan, all covenant breakers, all who would eventually declare war, and so to speak, upon the people of God." By the way, as you continue to read in Joshua, the very next step is Jericho. Kids, you remember that story? That's the city with huge imposing walls. Once again, the Lord intervened sovereignly. They marched around, the walls fell down, and they conquered their foes. So at the crossing of the Jordan, God did not promise, now that you are in the promised land, there would be no conflict, but he did give them a sign that if they clung to him, if they did not forget that altar at Gilgal, they would be victorious. This crossing of the Jordan was preparation for battle. Henry Decatur, what we call about glorious time was, years, totally would not be great about it. People being visited this hunt, as if they remembered the Lord, their Lord, and were faithful to him, they were nevertheless assured victory. The God who can part the floodwaters of Jordan, who can split the Red Sea by the wind of his power, can tear down the walls of Jericho against two hard enemies people run. Young people, baptized today, make no mistake, you too will face trial sent to you and enemies of the cross in your lot. Many of your friends will not understand what you are doing today, perhaps. People will may think it's foolish. Me, a superstitious ritual to be baptized. Well, will you stand in the face of me or the last teens? We ever tell you that will, if you will get the gospel baptism today, you too will be victorious against temptation, against their presence, against wickedness, against the enemy. When you are as you would have walked with him, in time we grow up, we will be able to participate in the great privilege of sharing your faith, pointing to Jesus Christ, and in sharing your faith, leading perhaps another soul across the waters of judgment, that they might be baptized and turn their lives over to Jesus. Chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Reuben and the sons of Gad, half tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them. About 40,000 ready for war passed before the Lord battled through the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. He used this moment of baptism and the assurance that it represents to tell the devil, you cannot have me, I belong to Jesus Christ. This is an iron cross. In other words, with your baptism of deity, you make me to you. The animal song, the spirit. I got in following and serving him, praying and being dedicated to him. Participate in these things as the church, young people, who are being honored. Jesus Christ, cause I was fought to any good. I was the stand. Thanks all the world. May that's a tribute and the tall benefits baptized other in the name of Jesus Christ. She made to patience to know and not of salvation. Remembering your baptism in Christ, you're clothed with the breastplate of righteousness. In Christ, you're girded with the belt of truth. In Christ, you're given a mission, shoes of the gospel of peace, and a weapon of your warfare to a sword in the hand, the word of God. And so, because Jesus Christ saved you, now it's the biggest miracle you'll ever experience in your life. And if it's a path faith, you will defeat other enemies and your face. Very small. So. To this little very thing, Savior, but to always say is, this is the same that Jesus was all that. In this baptism service, we exalt someone too. We stand in awe of someone too. On that day, the Lord exalted the Savior, if you will, Joshua, in the sight of people, so that they stood in awe of him as they passed over. This was a forerunner, a picture, Joshua was, of Jesus Christ. Jesus, our the Joshua to come, the greater Joshua, the ultimate Joshua, stands exalted in our midst today. He is why we gather, he is who we proclaim, and so we exalt him. And how much more ought we stand in awe of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest who made a way for us across the Jordan of our sin to guarantee eternal life in the gospel. Finally, this morning, like the Jordan crossing, baptism is possible by priesthood, a forever memorial, preparation for battle, and finally, a covenant signing. Yeah. Upon this event, we have the covenant assurance of signs that follow. We mentioned the altar memorial. Other things are added to it. 5, verse 2. At that time, let's go to verse 5. All the people came at once.
It's reasons for this covenant ceremony,
and we find that Joshua is faithful to be obedient, and something significant is happening. Well, all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who had horned on the way in the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. The people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that their father had sworn to their fathers to give to us. And so we read more reasons why obedience to this covenant sign was followed. And then later, in the next chapter, we also read, in the same chapter, 5 verse 10, the following happens. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains in Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So here, covenant signs were reinstituted to signify the importance of the Gilgal, the rolling away of reproach, crossing into the promised land. So the circumcision sign was reinstituted. And by the way, this is parallel to our event here as well. Likewise, in the new covenant, there are two covenant signs. They are baptism and the Lord's Supper. These correspond to the signs that we see in Joshua and chapter 5. Here in Colossians 2:11, we read, in Rabbi also circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in the tomb, which was in faith that the Lord raised him with He's giving us something practical to remember in God's simplicity.
Kitchen.
Given all your trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside and nailed it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame and triumphing over that he had them. For those who received the covenant sign in the days of Joshua, they had a mark upon their soul and indeed upon their flesh that would be with them, reminding them of the significance of this moment. This said, this is an initiation ceremony that said you belong to a particular people. God has saved you. This is your new identity now. Do we have anything like that as Christians? Yes, we have baptism. In baptism, I go from being a child of the devil to a child of God, a member of just the worldly system and the condemned sinners of this culture heading to hell. I go from that to being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, who stands according to him as a light to the world, that he is the one who saved. There's covenant assurance in baptism. It is a sign of our relationship with him. It's a reminder of who we are. Young people, we live in a culture that's deep in identity crisis. People are willing to go to all lengths to find out who they are, to carve out identity for themselves, to fit in the expectation of their friends. Who are you? What's the meaning and purpose of life? Where am I to get my affirmation? These are questions that obsessively influence people, young people especially, in our day? Well, these questions are answered in your baptism. In your baptism, we don't ever have to worry anymore about the insecurity of, am I valuable? What's the purpose of life? And who am I? Think back to your baptism and remember, I belong to Jesus Christ. He died for me. I am a child of God. I have friends and family in and among the people of God. And now I have a calling and a purpose to be a light to others, that they may join me in the waters of baptism into His great name. Then, every day represents a new day. In rolling the way of the crunch of Egypt, and which corresponds, of course, to the rolling away of our sins. This rolling away, this reproach representing slavery and bondage to sin. So today in the waters of baptism, God is pictured washing away the reproach of your sin, illustrating the cleansing power of Jesus' blood to wash you as white as snow, to justify you in His sight. In salvation, we recognize from now on that we are a new person. We are born again. That means we have a new identity. God has changed our hearts. Our sins are rolled away, and Jesus, the greater Joshua, is our Savior unto the promised land of glory. Well, for something this amazing, it deserves a feast, a celebration. In 2 weeks, we will participate at Providence in a feast, in a celebration, the communion table. The people sat down and they celebrated Passover, and they did so in the abundance of the land of Canaan. God has given us a covenant sign likewise at the Lord's table, at communion. We often say, reminding ourselves and our children, the bread that represents His body and the cup that represents His blood are the provisions for us in the wilderness of sin that give us the guarantee, the covenant sign, that we could join Him in glory with peace forever to celebrate and worship because of what He has done. Like the Jordan crossing, baptism is a covenant sign. And it also grants permission, it grants new access to the Lord's table. Likewise, for those baptized today, the communion table is now open to you. Communion joins baptism as the second covenant sign for the church today. Like the days of old, once a month, we too gather at the table. In this communion, a feast and fellowship, this gathering at the table will one day give way to the consummate, the fulfillment, marriage supper of the Lamb feast in heaven, the great promised land. And we there will join all the saints who have preceded us in the waters of baptism. Let us thank the Lord for adding to these numbers, even 11, from our fellowship today. Grace. Let us transition to prayer. Father, we thank You for the reassurance of Your word, proclaimed the proposition as we have read tonight. Get Your word dramatized and pictured in baptism. I pray that by these two means, these two instruments, no one gathered here today would forget the significance of these moments. And especially for those who will enter these waters, we pray that they would take this assurance with them to the grave. And in taking that assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ with them, and when they cross that river Jordan at the waters of death one day, they would be welcomed with open arms by all the saints, and especially their exalted, worthy and worshiped Savior, Jesus Christ, the priest who has made a way for us to be restored in fellowship with God the Father, the saints of glory, at the marriage supper of the Lamb forever, as we bow to Him. In His name we come. In His name, amen.
Doctor.
But praise God. So at this time, we've asked those who are about to be baptized to give you a testimony their faith. This is a public acknowledgement of their trust in Jesus Christ. So I invite those who will be baptized to join me right here. And we'll give you opportunity to tell us, the church, how Jesus Christ has changed your heart. So why don't you join me? Go ahead, you can come up with your parents if you like. And gather here beside me, and we'll proceed. Wait up here, guys.
to look.
Remember what we teach guys that
drinks on.
They might feel a little nervous at this time, might feel a little chilly. So the beast might just be the means that help you remember this day your whole life. And today, as we stand before us, we as parents and as members of the body of Christ, thank you, the Lord, for this great gift. Today, as I'm telling you guys, so that miracle, wouldn't it be awesome? You're at the River Jordan, and then all of a sudden you can walk across on dry land because God created a way. We're at the Red Sea. Well, a miracle has happened in each one of your guys' hearts. God has changed your heart, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. There was a time when you were just a sinner, and you deserved judgment, but God has saved you. So we would like to share how God changed your heart. You'd like to know first. Enoch, all right.
I discuss.
You, so Enoch, do you have something to share, or would you like to answer
some questions?
I would like to answer some questions.
All right. Enoch, why do you want to be baptized?
I want to be baptized because of what Jesus died upon the cross for our sins.
Amen. So Enoch, were you a sinner?
Yes.
What did you deserve because of your sin? What's the punishment per sin?
Oh.
That's right. And how can we be saved from our sin? Who died to save you from your sins?
Which of us?
Yes, so do you believe that he died from your sins?
Yes, we do, guys. Some
are. So are you ready to be baptized in his name today?
Yes.
Imagine.
Thanks to you, Devon.
All right, who's next? Is this Asher? Alexander, oh, that's 50% of chance. All right, Alexander, do you want to be baptized today?
Yes.
Why do you want to be baptized?
Like the different things that are like from the place, good.
Awesome. Have you sinned against God?
Yes.
Is that a serious thing? Does God punish us? Or do we deserve punishment for our sins?
Yes.
Is there a way we can stay to our sins?
Yes.
Who saved you from your sin?
Jesus.
Do you believe that with water?
Yes.
Are you ready to be baptized?
Yes.
So thank you for your testimony. Now we have Xander. Asher, sorry. They're not me, man. Asher.
And Cuthbert.
And it's both so. That's my spell's basis. Asher, do you want to be baptized today?
Yes.
So, do you know what sin is?
Yeah.
That's exactly me. Have you sinned against God?
Yes.
And we deserve punishment because of our sins?
Yes.
Yeah. This there can be saved from
our sins. Yes.
How can you be saved for our sins? Is there somebody that was punished for your sins?
Yes. So hell?
What's the name of
this is?
Amen. This is your Savior?
Yes.
Be ready to be baptized.
So, basically, last year, when a battlefield service happened, I just didn't get ready.
I was
feeling anything. And then the words on it, I said, it told us it's order to be a brick. But he is in the plenty of our sins.
Are you ready to be baptized today, isn't she?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you. Yes. And the main big Sarah will answer some questions. Okay. All right. Awesome. So, Tobin, why do you want to be baptized today?
So I can be saved from my sins.
Awesome. Who saved you from your sins?
Jesus did.
So, do you know what sin is?
This will be God for this.
Have you broken God's rules?
Yes.
You're awesome. Do you trust Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
Are you ready to be baptized in his name?
Yes.
he drinks.
He drinks already. So, Charles, can you tell me what sin is?
What sin is this?
Have you broken God's rules? Is that a serious thing? Does sin deserve to be punished?
That's.
And is there a way to be saved from your sin?
Yes.
And who died in your place?
Jesus.
Are you ready to be baptized in his name today?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sonny, I'll share a few things when I answer some questions. All right. So what's your name, son?
Johnny.
Awesome. Are you ready to be baptized today?
Yes.
Why would you like to be baptized today?
Because Don's died on the cross.
Yes. Yes. And why did Jesus have to die? We broke his law. And do you know what sin? Are you a sinner? Have you broken God's law?
Yes.
Is that a serious thing? Do we deserve to be punished for breaking God's law?
Yes.
Yes. Is there a way for us to be saved from our sins?
Yes.
And what is that way?
Amen.
How can you be saved from your sins? Is there someone who took that punishment for you?
Jesus.
Amen. Are you ready to be baptized in his name today?
Yes.
Awesome. Praise God.
All right, Bell, why do you want to be baptized today?
Has anyone like to dwell in the second?
Amen. Has God changed your regret?
Do you know what sin is?
And him, he broke his own rules and he's sinning against it. Is that a serious thing?
Yeah.
Is there a way for us to be saved from our sins?
And
we don't. You didn't ask me, but we're sinning.
Amen.
Do you trust Jesus, Savior? Are you ready to be baptized in his name?
Testimony.
Some Ruth here. Thanks. Somebody, you want to say a few things or do you want to answer some questions? Let me start. So, Ruthie, why do you want to be baptized?
So I can be self-conscious.
Super. Awesome. And what makes us far away from Jesus? We've been talking about it. It's sin. Do you know what sin is? Have you sinned against him?
Yes.
And is that a serious thing? The sin is there to be punished?
Yes.
Is there a way to be free from our sins?
Yes.
And who died so you can be free from your sin?
Jesus.
Do you trust Jesus as your Savior from your sins?
Yes.
Awesome. And are you ready to be baptized in his name today?
Yes, those are the
words. So, have you read it?
Yes. So, do you know what sin is?
Yeah.
It's breaking God's rules, which could be.
Is it?
Have you broken God's rules?
Yeah.
Is that a serious
thing? Is there a way to be saved from the punishment being circumcised? Sage? You died, so you don't have to eat on every weird sins.
Yes.
That's right. Do you trust him as your Savior and your Lord? Are you ready to be baptized in his name today?
Awesome.
Welcome to the Church of Jesus Christ, the King of God, Holy Medicine, Ground. Are you ready? Then, one, I'm set.
Yes.
So, in John, are you ready to be baptized today?
Yes.
Awesome. Do you know what sin is? You've been talking to this gravy deputy. Do you understand that? Have you loved God's rules? Is that a serious thing?
I bless you.
So is there a way to save for the punishment that we deserve breaking God's laws? And we've done it so we don't have to be punished for our sins.
Jesus.
Do you trust that Jesus died for your sins?
Wasn't.
Do you trust him as the lead and king of the way of earth?
Jesus.
Awesome. Are you ready to be baptized in his name today?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's give the Lord a hand. Worship the King. Thank you, young people, for sharing with us a testimony of how God has changed your heart and your understanding of the gospel. So it'll take a few minutes here to transition, but just beyond this wall behind you is a kind of public beach, sandy area down there. So as you're able, we'll relocate. We'll give those who will be baptized an opportunity to get clothes that can get wet on and things like that. And then in a matter of, 10 minutes or so, we will continue the service waterside with the baptism ceremony. So join us in a moment as we're able.